Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking, and we're talking to John Waffenschmidt. He's the Vice President of Environmental Issues with and Community Outreach for Covanta Energy. And we talked about a lot of aspects of the business, John. You know, I think we've covered a lot of territory, and yet your background is bigger than this, isn't it? It's you. I mean, you have a very real interest in environment in general.
Well, not only that, my wife often says that I have an opinion about everything. So usually, if
I can't
pick
stand
a topic,
people like that.
Why? Is it when you look in the mirror? Don't you meet one?
I always tell people, if I don't know the answer, I make it up.
And well, as a scientist, I'm not allowed to do that. We sign a little code of ethics.
I'll tell you a funny story. I was with Bill Clinton was making a speech one day at the LIA, and you know how they have the rope line where you right. get to shake his hand? Well, his topic that day was the Marshall Plan. Now, the Marshall Plan was, as you probably know, was the rebuilding of Europe after we devastated with bombs over the years. And he says it was the greatest foreign policy thing right. that we ever did. And so when I went up to shake his hand, I says to him, you know why they called it the Marshall Plan, don't you? And he says, yeah, they named it after George Marshall, General George Marshall. I said, yeah, that's true. I says, but there's more to the story. I says, many months before the war was over, President Truman called George Marshall into the office, and he called in Dean Acheson, who was Secretary of State, and he says, I want you two men to work on something that's going to save ourselves from another war. I want you to devise a plan to put these countries back on their feet, enemies and friends alike. Doesn't matter whether it's France or Germany or whatever country, they need help. And they did. They went to Greece. They went to every place. And they would put this thing together, you know. And so what happened at that time was that they came back with the plan, and they explained it to Truman, and they told him what it was all about and how it would work. Truman says, I like it very much. He says, well, there it is, sir. That's the Truman Plan. And Truman says, are you kidding? You want to see this thing go anywhere? You better name it something else. You know how much they hate me in this country at this point? He says, my popularity is around 16%. He says, if you want this thing to go anywhere, you better call it the Acheson Marshall Plan, or the Marshall Plan, or the Acheson Plan, anything but me. So Acheson said to Truman, well, George did most of the work. Why don't we call it the Marshall Plan? And President Clinton looked at me and says, is that true? He says, I don't know. I make shit up. So
well, like I say, as a scientist, I'm not allowed to do that. But I am happy.
That's true, though, by the way.
Okay. I'll believe you. I am happy that the Marshall Plan worked. I wish we could be as effective in some of our other nation-building efforts as we were in Europe.
The other foreign policy thing we did, and we're off topic, of course, but I don't care. It's just...
I might not get paid for the segment then.
Well, don't wait for that check. But in any case, the other thing that we did great was the Peace Corps. The Peace Corps was a very, very effective situation. It might have been costing us $100 million a year, but... You know, we have planes that cost less than more than that. And it was very, very effective at winning us a lot of friends. And there's people today that still have contact with the Peace Corpsmen that they knew in their time and towns that they keep in touch with. And that has been very, very effective.
Well, it's certainly true that you know, the Peace Corps provided and provides a very valuable service that we don't hear about it as much as we used to. It also is a wonderful way for young people to develop some initial skills by going and being involved with different projects.
Not only that, it didn't try to change the people. It tried. In other words, these were primitive people who had to live in a primitive way even when the Peace Corps men were gone. So bringing in tractors as big as this terminal didn't help them, because those things couldn't be sustainable. If you taught them basic farming science, they could now interpret that to make to do a whole lot of things.
Right.
And that's where they were effective, and that's why it was cheap.
Well, teach a man how to fish, and he can fish a lifetime. And give him a fish, and he can eat for a day. Isn't that the same concept?
Yes, and I think, well, there was one story about a Peace Corpsman that really impressed me, was that he was out with the farmer, and there was a shack in the middle of the field, and he says, what's in the shack? He says, it's a tractor. So it turned out to be a John Deere tractor. It was, he says, well, why don't you use it? He says, it's broken. So the young man was a farmer himself. He was the son of a farmer. So he calls his dad, and he says, I looked at this machine. He says, I need this and I need that. Go down to the John Deere store and mail it to me. And he mails him a couple of parts. It was probably a couple of $100, and the old man paid for it and sent it. Now, you could spend $1 million and not make as much of an impression on people as that young man did by the fact that he knew so much, and then he was able to solve their problem.
Absolutely.
When I think of America today and what our foreign policy is, I'm pretty disgusted with the fact that we think that the only way to make people do what we want is to bomb them into submission. And I mean, I don't know what your politics are, John, and I really respect whatever they are. But my point of view is that we're not getting anywhere. We seem to be stuck.
Well, I guess I probably have a much broader perspective. I think, you know, there are certainly some issues in some aspects of our foreign policy. But if you let's focus on, you know, on the positive, if we look at our economic system, you know, capitalism-based, entrepreneurial-based system, I mean, it's now been essentially adopted by the planet. And while we are the biggest engine on the block, there's a lot of other engines that are participating in capitalism. Not, you know, if we start talking environmentally, we could, you know, discuss there's some challenges with, you know, capitalism going forward for thousands of years. But it is a system that incentivizes people and provides direct reward to them. So we're contributing to that. I'm a big fan of like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation trying to tackle some of the world issues. So not everything has to come from our government, and we can all be ambassadors. This is a great country.
Yeah.
We can all be ambassadors for this country.
I think it's better that it doesn't come from the government. That becomes suspect in many ways, and whereas people to people are much, much more effective.
Well, granted, but I think if, you know, realistically speaking, it has to come from both.
Yeah.
You know, we need the best government we can, as a democracy, we can put together with the best forward approach on a worldwide basis. That has benefits for us and it has benefits for others. I think we face an interesting, you know, challenge slash opportunity to assist in quelling the Ebola outbreak.
I think that's a tremendous good example of where we could do something very, very positive and without too much controversy, you know?
Well, you know, right now we're moving in there with the ability to put up, you know, mobile hospitals and begin to manage on the ground some of the challenges that are there. We have our, you know, medical intellexia, the smartest, you know, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, and a number of, you know, academic and hospital-based physicians, Doctors Without Borders. You have a number of organizations that are looking to help to quell this tide. I mean, right now, you know, until we have an effective vaccine.
By the way, I don't give a lot of money to people who call me on the phone for donations. I only select people that I send money to. Doctors Without Borders is one of them I have selected to give because they are unbelievably a force for good.
Well, since you said that, I'm going to donate $100 after this meeting.
That's wonderful.
maybe all of your listeners can do
this. This is Ernie Fazio. I've been talking to John Waffenschmidt from Covanta Energy. This is Earnestly Speaking. Thanks for listening. This is 103.9 FM.